Keeping you up to date with all the latest SEO and web development news. With a little flavour added in.
Well, now let's have a little bit.
Detroit Style, the Trademark Productions weekly podcast radio show, coming live from Detroit.
Well, actually, Royal Oak. No one really lives in Detroit anymore.
Did you see President Obama released his, it's called the, Consumer Privacy Bill of Rights in a Networked World yesterday?
Well, we're going to see that because we're starting the podcast.
Yes, we are.
Trademark, podcast, SEO, web, social, all that good stuff, and President Obama, and we've got a lot of great things to talk about today, and we just missed the snowmageddon here in Detroit.
Kind of bummed out about that.
Barely got an inch of snow. We were supposed to get six, but whatever. Who cares? So what's this thing about Obama? What did he pass? What is going on?
The White House released the Consumer's Bill of Rights in a Networked World yesterday, and it's basically discussing how consumers should be responsible for their data and how companies should use consumers' data. Like, for example, number one is individual control. Consumers have a right to exercise control over what personal data companies collect from them and how they use it. So it's trying, from my understanding of this, I mean, I honestly just saw this late last night, and they're trying to bring about awareness of privacy controls and data control on the internet with companies like Facebook, Google, Microsoft. I did see a headline this morning that Microsoft and a few other companies, I don't know what others, came out and said that they are going to support and honor this Bill of Rights because it's not an official law. It's just, you know, you should do this.
How are they going
to
make it a law?
Yeah, I mean, they would have to pass it through Congress and all of that stuff, but it'll be interesting to see if it goes through. The second one is transparency. Consumers have a right to easily understand and access their information about privacy and security practices. Again, that reminds me of a little bit of Facebook's privacy controls, because Facebook in the past has been, I guess the word I would use is, a little bit secretive with how their privacy controls work. They're not always clear, not always easy to understand. And it's caused some frustration with users, myself included. And the third of seven Bill of Rights, I'm not going to read through all of them, but I think this one's good, is respect for context. Consumers have a right to expect that companies will collect, use, and disclose personal data in ways that are consistent with the context in which consumers provide the data. So basically, if you're, you know, on Facebook, Facebook can only use your data in ways that you're giving it to them, basically, your profile, your likes, your interests, and stuff like that.
Well, that's mildly interesting.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, yay, we are doing something, and it doesn't really seem like anything's going to happen, but we'll see.
Well, we'll see what the opportunities are with something like that.
Yeah, I think this is a good step in the right direction for legislation to be passed about consumer data control and stuff like that. I think that if we can pass laws that, you know, big companies like Google, Microsoft, all those who mine user data, do it in a more responsible and ethical way, I think that would be a good thing.
Good luck on that.
Yeah, I know.
Because half the time you don't even know what kind of data they're mining.
Yeah.
And that's interesting because Scribble, which was really the last search that you could use, and basically what they did is scraped. Well, they didn't scrape, but they tapped into Google search results, and it was really the last bit of Google search results that didn't have any type of personalization whatsoever. I mean, we're talking old school Google organic mm-hmm. results. So if you really wanted to see true rankings and true data of their algorithm and how it was being portrayed without any, frosting and sprinkles, you know, Scroogle was the way to do it. But now they've essentially shut down as of the beginning of this week. Too many DOS attacks, too many issues, and service violations with Google. And the owner was just tired of it, just tired of fighting with it. So there's other services you can utilize. DuckDuckGo is one that I like as well, if you're looking for true search results, to look through something like those. But that was kind of a bum deal because I use Scroogle a lot. But, interesting. I was listening to another podcast Darren Babin and the guy from Rosetta, I forget his name, but they're on the SEO Rockstars on Webmaster FM. But they were talking all about the Google Plus SEO and the personalized results and the amount of data it's collecting, different things. But that's a podcast you can collect on webmaster.fm from late January. And that was pretty interesting, the way that they were discussing those things. But I am... back and reacclimated to some really shitty weather and the grayness of Detroit. That's a love-hate type of a thing, but was out in Hawaii last week.
And how was that?
It was tropical. Tropical and sunny and nice. But it was also type of relaxing. Got a ton of work done, believe it or not, which was kind of nice. A lot of walking. But got together for PubCon Paradise, which is their semi-annual it's their annual event, their spring session. And it was the first time it was over in Hawaii, and it was a nice turnout. It was a good mix of people. And the sessions were also equally as cool. We had a chance to sit down and talk with a couple different people, Jill Whalen from High Rankings, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
She had some cool stuff to say. She's been a mentor, I would say, or someone that I looked up to. She's definitely one of my peers.
She's been doing SEO, since 95 or 96?
Yeah, for a long time.
Yeah.
Long time. And it's cool because she's like a regular mom type of a person. And I don't say it in an insulting way, but almost like the school lunch lady kind of a thing. And but she just... unbelievably smart.
Oh, yeah.
And such a pleasant woman. So I really enjoyed sitting down and speaking with her. That's on our site as well. And then even more so, I love talking with Kate Morris of Distilled.net.
Yeah.
She was just such a cool chick. Just awesome. And we had a real interesting conversation about social search.
She predicted it, man, in 2005.
Yeah, supposedly she said she did. But I want to get her on maybe periodically because she has so much great content. And just listening to her and to her theories and her viewpoints on things, because they work on some major international clients. So what she's finding and what her thoughts are is pretty cool. So definitely listen to that podcast as well. But I figured we'd... talk about a couple things in here in regards to some of the things that I listened to at PubCon. One of them I'm going to try to get on with us in the near future is going to be Andy Beal of Tracker, T-R-A-C-K-U-R. So it's like Track UR, but it's Tracker. And he has a social media monitoring tool. It's really, really good. But he did 50 tactics in 50 minutes. He did a complete session on the training day. And I really like some of the things that he talked about in regards to reputation management basis. I also spoke on a session with him as well. We had a full packed room of about 20 people. There was a social and basically a search SEO session competing
same
with
time.
Us at the same time, which really dragged a lot of people in there. But nevertheless, reputation management's a big issue. And so, you know, my discussion was more on the fact of protecting yourself, a lot of proactive techniques for black hats. And that's also on our site. We did a podcast, and we got the slides up on SlideShare and on our site as well at tmprod.com. So, in fact, I think Andy and the other gentleman I spoke with were a little offended, actually. Didn't really like seeing talking about black hat stuff, and it was like, oh my God, not one of these. But Brett Tabke really got a couple chuckles out of it, and it's realistic stuff. I mean, you could really get harmed in a lot of different ways, and people just don't know how to protect themselves from shit like that.
And I think with your presentation, what I liked about it was that while it was kind of an instruction manual on how to do those things, it was more of a, this is how people can do it, therefore you do the opposite of that to protect yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the way that I didn't look at it as like, this is how you go about damaging someone's reputation. It was a step-by-step of how people would do that so you can, you know, be proactive against that.
Yeah, yeah, to keep your eyes on things like that because those are very realistic case studies.
And like we talked about, there was that guy from Oakland County who, he impersonated the police officer. Someone as small as that.
Yeah, and you know? And now the anti-bullying law, how that's being fallen under these things.
Yeah.
Another interesting point I just thought is a lot of the legalities that happens online and now with social and slander and types of infringements, more slanderous extent, but then ownership of different components. I want to. It was a wireless company. It's like Dog Wireless, Dog something. It's in down North Carolina, South Carolina.
Yeah.
But an employee was fired from working there, and he managed their social media.
Oh, Phone Dog Media.
Phone Dog Media. Okay. So you
yeah, we did a blog post about that about a month and a half, 2 months ago.
Yeah, that whole thing is still playing out really well. So now they're countersuing him for the fact that he has stolen all of their followers that he essentially built up for the company. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Noah Kravitz was his name.
Noah Kravitz. Not any relationship to Lenny.
No, sadly.
All right, so one of the guys I want to get on in the future is Michael Gray of Atlas Web, and Wolf Howl is his blog. And this guy is just awesome. New Yorker, Long Island dude, and he's just critically deathly in his tactics and strategies, and very, very down to earth. He's a cool dude. He likes to cook a lot, too. But got a chance to sit with him a little bit, and I want to get him on a future podcast. But he talked about competitive intelligence and advanced SEO, and I'm just going to go through some of my notes, essentially. He talked about Panda and removing weak, useless content, content with high bounce rates, small and tight, avoiding excess pages in your site to really slim down your site, make it easy to crawl, make links match all your social signals, which was pretty interesting because always before, produce, largest site you could have, more real estate, and now it's kind of like slimmered down and make it very focused on what your site's about so it just gets to the meat and potatoes of it. Updating high value and popular pages often, so you need to continuously update those pages, use XML-rich snippets, and reduce page size and load time. We've known about that for a long time. Mm-hmm. Duplicate URLs and mobile subdomains. Eliminate Ajax and JavaScript as much as possible in your sites. And that's a whole mobile component. I'm going to say it now. Mobile in the next 12 months is just going to be unbelievably huge.
Oh, yeah.
Huge. Where the speed issue is going to be something that's going to be definite. You're going to see the wireless players making a big hit on that as well with all of their different types of data plan accounts. And I really do feel that Google is going to come out and offer some type of carrier network that's going to be so low cost or almost cheap or free. That's going to be ad supported and, of course, collect user data.
Yeah.
But that's going to allow the mobile speed to really play a part in your rankings.
I was thinking about that the other day. I realized that aside from when I'm, you know, here for 8-9 hours a day, I use my phone far more for the internet than I do my MacBook at home.
Oh, because it's just
It's right in my pocket.
Convenient, man.
Yeah. I mean, I would much rather sit, you know, while I'm watching a Wings game and scroll on the internet with my phone than a laptop on my desk. It's much easier to drink a beer when you just have a phone in one hand than, you know, than a laptop.
So talking a little bit about advanced link building, creating high valuable content and guest posting is definitely a huge thing to keep doing. We've been getting a lot of requests for guest posting on our site as well, which I'm kind of partial, impartial to, depending on it. But another strategy I read about as well recently was to do blog posts as often as each employee to do 2 a month, and one for your site and then one that's rewritten to go on another site that's a guest post somewhere else that's going to get you some backlinks. So I like that strategy, and I think that can be useful, but I believe that you need to – it can't be fabricated. It needs to be very genuine and true into the efforts that need to be put there. It can't just be so blatantly broad level. It needs to be pretty detailed and relevant.
You don't want to put content out there. You don't want to
stray
content.
You don't want to stray out of your industry. So, if you're in the health industry, you obviously want to be blogging about health. And you can get into very specific topics like how to stay healthy on the road, exercising while you're on vacation, how to eat well when you're just eating out all the time, and if it's certain destinations where they have healthy eating opportunities or where there's walking paths or bike paths or rollerblading paths. Those are great things too. And there's lots of places to find guest blog posts. Haro, Help a Reporter Out, is a great service. You just got to dig through it all the time. Mm-hmm. All Top, my blog guest. And then if you just do for a lot of like keyword searches, as identifiers in Google, guest post keyword searches. So guest post with your keyword or blog guest post with your keyword. And I'm sure you can find a lot of different places to solicit those. syndicating your content is still very important. And if you can work it out, you're going to get some good quality backlinks. You need to make sure you put links in your RSS feeds, and you need to change up your RSS feeds in their formatting. Not dramatically, but moderately every couple weeks. That's probably a good thing to do. You need to be press worthy. It's always a Friday. My words are just horrible. But press worthy in the type of topics that you're talking about. They need to be relevant, but it's also probably good into as far as link baiting to make outrageous claims and predictions. Be edgy. You know, you got the new iPhone 5. Or this is what you feel, and you've got very, very, even if you don't, but, yeah. You know, have it be, you know, back up in different ways. And you could definitely get a lot of inbound links for that. Pictures are always a huge deal. The more you can take of pictures. And if you are a photographer, or you enjoy doing that as a recreational type of an effort, take lots of great pictures, geospecific areas or events, and have nice images, high res available as well, and give them away. Put them inside your site and allow people to give them away and give them the type of Creative Commons license or any type of caption and copyright information with backlink information as well. But, you know, like we should do that as well as here is maybe mm-hmm. go down to like maybe the top 25 Detroit historic landmarks.
Yeah.
And take nice, beautiful, large, high-res images of those. Caption those appropriately with keywords. They're going to get ranked. People are probably going to utilize them in different ways. So, and you know, optimizing your site for image search is also going to be important as well. So there's so many steps into marketing, optimizing, and how you can socially integrate your site into search and for other users to be very, very helpful. It always can have a sales component behind it. Going out to bloggers and asking them to do trials and giving them product mm-hmm. and looking for them to do reviews on it, that's always a great way. You could always pay a person to go and cover an event and take pictures for you. That's a nice, cheap way to produce content. And you have to watch out for anchor text when you're doing any of these strategies and have some diversification. You can't always have MI web design, Michigan web design, Michigan web development. And you can't just build a ton of shit links like that mm-hmm. with all the same type of anchor text. A lot of discussions on Pinterest and how well that is going to help out with different things. Still stumble upon popular Twitter. Utilize those to post awesome pictures. Invest time and invest in good.
Thank you for listening to Trademark Productions' weekly podcast radio show. Remember to submit your questions online at tmprod.com and subscribe to our newsletter and on iTunes. No copying of this can be reproduced without permission. Terms apply. Copyright TM Productions 2011. All rights reserved.
Personalized search on steroids.
Yeah.
Is really what that is about, and how much they're paying attention now with the emergence of your world, mm-hmm. Google Plus, your world, your social graph, and what's happening on that.
I actually did a test the other day. I just searched for what was it? I searched for one of our clients. I can't remember which, just to see what their ranking was. And when I was logged in to my account, they were number one. But when I logged out, they were like toward the bottom of the page.
Yeah, you know, it's all based off of your social circles. Yeah.
And it's
geospecifics. There's a number of components to it, but it's man, I'm just not I'm not too hip to it, but I mean it's just an evolution. It's we gotta go there. That's the way it's gonna be.
Yeah.
If not, head over to Bing
mm-hmm.
and use Bing and just stay logged out of Facebook. So
I forgot Bing integrates Facebook.
Yeah. It's Google Plus is the whole Bing Facebook integration from mm-hmm. before. Really in huge words. The other thing is you need to get social as much as it's time consuming and it's more things to learn and evolve to. You need to get social with your business and your brand or you're going to miss out.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the bottom line there.
Especially with Google Plus.
With Google Plus.
That is by far the most important now and you have to update it. I don't want to say more frequently than Facebook and Twitter, but at minimum at the same amount because those and make your posts public. Because a lot of people who use Google Plus don't make any of their posts public.
Nah, make it all public.
And you know, for a personal account, whatever, but if you're doing a brand account, all public because that's all gonna be indexed.
All right, so you know, we're at about 15 minutes here, and I want to go over some stuff maybe with Andy Beal's presentation because I think it's pretty cool, pretty worthwhile. And it's going to take probably another 15, 20 minutes to get through this, but I think it's got some merit to it. So Andy Beal, he's the CEO and founder of Tracker, And his reputation management training was 50 tactics in 50 minutes. And so I'm going to go through all of his points on here because they are relative in a lot of ways. So just like anything else, going on vacation, losing weight, getting a degree, achieving optimal health, you need to know your goals. So when you're setting things out, a list of what you're trying to achieve, sediments of your results in Googles and images. Know those components. So you got to get a good idea with an audit. What are in the first 20 results? What's showing up and how many are positive and negative? That's a very huge starting point. Identify your weaknesses. Take an honest look at your business and see what possibly may become under attack. Take an honest look and really see and realize that every company or individual has a weakness. So how would you potentially be attacked? And how are you going to be proactive or reactive in the event something like that happens, which is more about my presentation. Stakeholders is really anybody that has a stake in your reputation. Who's invested in your reputation? You have, think about it. There's customers, there's clients, employees that are going to talk about your business or your products or your services positively or negatively. So you need to monitor their conversations and make sure you're portraying they're portraying you and you're portraying yourself in a positive way or how you want to be seen, heard, and realized. Number seven, channels. So what are the centers of influence of your reputation? Twitter may not be that good of an audience for you. It may be a very, very good audience for you. Fad networks. Think about Pinterest. Think about Facebook, which really hasn't been a fad. Do you have images of consumer what? What are your consumers and your customers and your stakeholders having a conversation about your products or your services and what channels and how many? So those are something that have to be taken into consideration. Number eight, building. Make your official presence in the right places. First impressions are going to be key, and you need to make sure that your website is updated and looks good. And that blows me away how many people are such large violators of that.
Yeah.
And they just don't get it. There's so many tools out there to allow you to do that. But you want to have continuity as well. So your background, your Twitter background, your Facebook timeline, you know, background image. Are they full and are they complete? Are galleries that are on your website also in your Facebook galleries or in your Twitter stream? They need to have continuity into all of these. You need to have a media list readily available, and you need to build it out, and you need to know it, and you need to understand it, and who to pitch about what potentially. And that definitely takes some time, and it could probably take some professional help. Someone like on Andy's team or a local PR firm that has some reputability with you. But does a particular journalist like gadgets or shiny mm-hmm. things, are they environmental? Are they green? Are they Republican or Democrat? Which are they totally right? You know, you need to know how to pitch them correctly.
Exactly.
To try to get an edge on you in a different way.
A lot of that information, too, can be found just with Google, in all honesty, because most journalists who have a Facebook or Twitter page use that both professionally and personally.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so if you find their public Facebook page, you're going to be able to get, you know, just a wealth of information.
Yep, absolutely. .orgs, think about secondary sites and a community page. Get reputation management and good positive results in Google. So basically, do you have a press? Do you have a community outreach section of your website? Are you talking about things that you are doing to help the community in a positive way, that the way that you're giving it back? You could make it a separate site as a .org in Google and get another set of results, which is a good tactic. It's going to get a different set of links as well. So both your .com and your .org will end up showing up in search results, which is a great way to do it. You can also do that with a lot of social media profiles as well. So if you're replicating those for your community outreach or your charitable component, charitable component of your organization, those are going to give you some very positive SERPs. And again, is going to give you some pretty awesome set of backlinks. Subdomains, you could put that on a subdomain and keep it inside. I'd say build up .org and make it pretty simplistic and simple. And I think it makes you look larger as well. Determine detractors, people that want to follow you to make sure you are penalized. So you need to keep an eye out for those. So these are people that are out to hurt your reputation or looking to just do, I call them picking fly shit out of pepper. So when they're essentially doing that. Profiles, claim all of your spaces, know them. KNOWEM, you definitely want to utilize that. And then as far as local, getlisted.org, which I'm pro and con about them because it's an affiliate service, but if I'm localized, but they do a good job of making sure your profiles or have continuity on a localized level. And if you have multiple locations throughout the country or the world, that could be pretty important. So your fan page, build that out, utilize that, make sure there's continuity on that. So promotions, give information that a journalist can catch on to. What would get a journalist or someone that's writing or a photographer really excited? What would give them some free exposure? Contest, giveaways, gift cards, something that creates a buzz, give away an iPad, and then tweet. He uses an example. I just tried Tracker UR and entered to win an iPad 3. You can too. Click here. So you're getting some social spreading and respreading of your brand. I think some of that has some commercialized or a little bit of sales pitching and gimmicky type of a thing, but it still can work in a lot of different ways. Character, it's like a tree and a reputation is the shadow. I love that statement. So character is like a tree and the reputation is a shadow. The shadow is what we think of it. The tree is the real thing. So fix the problems that you have with that. Manage your employees, like we talked about with that wireless company.
Phone Dog Media, Noah Kravitz.
Yeah, Phone Dog Media. So have a social, your employees need to be set up the right way. They need to know what they can talk about, how they should talk about things. You should probably not have too much oversight on them, but just enough. And they need to be aware of who owns the content that they're creating and the communities that they're managing.
Exactly.
Good reputation starts with a good website. So have social media icons and encourage customers to converge with you on certain different social media sites. Scroogle, oh man, I'm just so bummed about that whole deal. But use some other third-party services that are paid for. I think they're going to be worth it. DuckDuckGo is the one that I recommend. But look at search results that are not personalized and see exactly where you stand up to versus where you're standing with personalization. I think you got to look at both of those. Reviews. You need to manage and moderate all of your reviews. Make sure that to make responses to any types of comments or attacks. And point out the positives that they mention in the review and address the negative. Just try to take it offline. And then try to get those people to call or email you. Make sure that the next visit is perfect. So companies should encourage all your employees to give reviews. No. You should not be doing paid reviews. I don't know how much I agree 100% with that, but if you're looking for complete transparency and that good, genuine-hearted, this is the trust of everything, then, yeah, you don't want to have your employees or go to Mechanical Turk or somewhere offshore and have reviews put together with certain specific keywords written very, very nicely for small fees.
I mean, we've talked in the past about, offering, hey, next time a service, a company goes and does something for a customer, oh, hey, would you mind reviewing us? I think that's, one of the really good ways to get good reviews if you just put it out there for the customer.
Yeah, you give them every opportunity to do so. And again, by taking on all of these different steps in your tactic and the overall strategy, it's going to allow for that to happen very genuinely. But it's also going to give a soapbox for the people that are dissatisfied with your products or services to jump up there very, very quickly.
It's true.
So you have to be ready to be there with a game plan to not retaliate, but to take care of your reputation issue in that situation. Andy talks a lot about to not game anything, and I'm agreeing in a lot of that to a certain extent, but Black Hat's only going to work for so long, he says. Facebook analytics, tons of information there, how your audience is interacting with you. You need to really look about that. Age, gender, demographics, geolocation, great data to know about.
Facebook Insights is awesome.
Yeah. PR, hashtags. Always use hashtags in any of your programs or any type of publicity components, stunts that you have going on. Components seems to be the word of the day for me.
Yeah, it happens.
Influencers, clout, whether you love it or hate it, you need to know who are influencers out there in a community. So Gadgets, Gizmodo, there is the editor of that, the guys that are writing for those, Icrontic, Brian Ambrosi, in the gaming world. So you need to know exactly who these people are, what kind of clout, what kind of reach do they end up having. That is the only metric you really have to measure total social media clout exposure right now, so it's not a bad one to utilize. Multimedia, utilizing Flickr, YouTube, customize your URL, get your company name in there, and with general images, again, good full profile. what should be monitored that you should be looking on a regular basis, misspellings, abbreviations, company name, executives, unhappy employees, people you fired, people you just hired, who's active on social media, competition, what are they saying, what are they doing, what do their customers say. There's opportunity in finding out that someone that's bitching and complaining about a Ford truck. And if you're working for GM and you're in social media, to letting them know about that Chevy is taking care of issues like this, or we have a large payload in towing capacity, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And great incentives happening in your area right now. Consumers would be pretty surprised to know that they're being listened to. They could even be a little eared, a little weirded out
yeah.
by something like that.
I really like that way of reaching out, though. You know, like if someone says something negative about a competitor, just kind of slipping in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, because you could be monitoring just industry terms, too.
Yeah, exactly.
In general. Be prepared. At what level does it require a press release or a response in media? Should you have temporary crisis blog set up that's actually offline, but when the time is right, you just flick the switch and put it on and direct traffic over to that, something like that? These are preemptive components. There's that word again. These are preemptive tools in your toolbox that you should really take a hard look at. Always assess a situation when you come into a reputation management program problem. Make sure you know who and what you are dealing with. That's very important. And say I'm sorry. Don't say it to just passively, but really, really mean it. Some people just want an apology. Maybe they want a small piece of compensation. Maybe they want a discount. Maybe they want to be applauded. Maybe they just, it's when you heard Bill Clinton come out and finally say that, you know, yep, I did have a cigar and a conversation with this young lady when months before he said he did not have sexual relations. Everybody just really wanted him to hear him admit it because everybody mm-hmm. knew that's exactly what happened. Consistency and transparency. Tell them what happened in general, and tell them how you fixed it and demonstrate that the incident was isolated. Humility and sincerity. I think empathy, too, for people's frustrations and the time and money they wasted
yeah.
in dealing with something like that.
I mean, companies are run by people who almost always experience something similar at
yeah.
some point. So if you can take your own personal experience and, you know, empathize with your client or your customer, they're more likely to either stay or even refer you to other people because, oh, they messed up, but look what they did to make it right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's huge.
So at reoccurrence, you want to make sure that you don't make the same mistakes twice, and people find comfort in numbers, so don't give them all those great types of numbers. Give them the positive numbers. You know, it's been 1,392 days since we've had an accident. Types of things like that, if that's appropriate for your industry or your product. Defamation laws are very, very tricky, and from state to state, county to county and country, you have to be careful because what they say or what you say can be slander. It may also be very, very easy to get stuff off the internet too if someone is being slanderous about your product or your brand. And a court order to get Google removed from index is not completely hard to do, but there is time and cost involved with attorneys and whatnot.
His legal fees will add up.
Yes. And that was essentially, you know, I guess the entire session in a whole, which I think gave you a good life cycle and really gives a lot of thoughts and a lot of processes to be developed for an organization. And it would be nice to actually have a template out there, a checklist
mm-hmm.
of do we have all of these things in place? Because it's a hell of a service you could sell to a company.
Yeah.
Or if not, at least have your communications department follow those types of guidelines and make sure that all those things are ripe and ready. So kind of cool. Well, we're working on a couple cool speakers coming up in the next few weeks. Not speakers, but friends and people to talk about some cool stuff. Hoping to get one of the big three social media managers on the horn with us, too, talking about what they're doing online and how they're using social media. And I'm sure that's going to be a very, very nicely moderated public relations opportunity for them
yeah.
to talk in those formats. Also going to be getting one of my friends, Stunt Double, Todd Mailcoat, is probably down in Florida right now fishing. But we actually fished out in Hawaii, which was really cool. Caught a 300-pound marlin.
I saw that.
Yeah, it was a ton of fun, man. And talking about just, I guess he has a whole PESCO which is kind of short for pescado, which is fish in Spanish, of system and the way he builds links and teaches people how to build up their link profiles. And I really like the situation. He's really good at articulating it, too. So I think that he would make a great podcast session as well that people should catch. So we're going to leave you with that. And thank you for listening. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to Trademark Productions weekly podcast radio show. Remember to submit your questions online at tmprod.com and subscribe to our newsletter and on iTunes. No copying of this can be reproduced without permission. Terms apply. Copyright TM Productions 2011. All rights reserved.